Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox. Today's guest is a truly unique voice in the music world, award-winning singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and the creative force behind the Harmonica Pocket, Keith Apgar. With nearly three decades of songwriting, over 1,000 songs written, and a 2025 ASCAP Foundation, Keith creates music that blends imagination, healing, and human connection. His work reminds us that imperfection is not something to hide. It's actually a gift. Keith, welcome to the show, brother. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So 1,000 songs written from childhood to now, correct?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I stopped counting at 1,000, so...
Yeah, I'm sure you got like 2,000 or something, you know? Yeah.
I lost track, but there was a couple weeks. I just got home a week or two ago from a songwriting workshop with a bunch of teenagers, and in 1 week, we wrote 15 songs. So it's like sometimes they just pour out like a leaky faucet.
Yeah. Now those 50, okay, so a lot of songwriters have different time frames for writing songs. Was there ever one song that took you like 5-10 minutes to write, just flowed out of your body?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's been that quick, but certainly a few of them, probably less than 10, have come out in, 30 minutes or so.
Right.
But the majority of them are a spiritual and creative wrestling match. I have one song that ironically is about time passing. And that song took me over 5 years to get to a place where I was like, okay, this is in a place where I can record it now. Right. So that one's called Time Flies.
Okay. I'll be able to play it here. So where does that, how do you explain how that happens? How a song can just form in like minutes as opposed to months, days, years, you know? I mean, yeah, well, there's some explanation behind that.
It's definitely mysterious. There's one side of me that feels like there are songs kind of swirling up over our heads. And if you have a little net, like a butterfly net, you can kind of reach up and grab them. But I also feel that we have to work at them sometimes. I have to work at catching songs, at finding songs, at writing songs. The ones that have come really quickly, sometimes there's just a moment, and I don't know how to express this. I say I hear something, you hear something in the way that maybe like if you were, do you ever think you're thinking in your mind about somebody and can you imagine their voice in your head? Like they're not speaking, but you can imagine it. It's time, almost like that where you can hear something that's not there. And so usually it's been a melody for me. And one time I remember there's a song, it's a kid's song. I write a lot of kid songs. And so this one is called, it eventually became called Wee Attilly, which is a very strange little phrase that also came. But I was having breakfast and I heard something and I was like, whoa, I put my fork down and I went and grabbed my ukulele because that was hanging on the wall and just kind of tried to find the melody. And it was this little pentatonic melody. I kind of caught the melody, like notated it real briefly, understood it so I can come back to it. And then I went back and finished my breakfast, So, that song was not one that was finished in that half hour, but that was an example of something that just kind of like flashes, before you, and you get, your like radio station, your internal radio station, like tune something in. But to me, that's an exception. Again, like I find that I have to work a lot. I think, how do I want to do this? Or just discover things when I'm playing or singing or humming.
I feel like creating music for you is not necessarily work because you love it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Is
go
there
ahead.
are there those moments where you have to think of it as work and not like fun? Because if you have fun, you're not really more motivated, I guess is the word, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think well, we talk about play music, not working music, but it is definitely a work for me, and I feel I'm not one of the songwriters who has a regular daily writing practice. There's times when I imagine it in my mind as a tide. A tide comes in and the water swells and it brings in driftwood and sticks and jellyfish or whatever's going on. And then it goes out and it takes all that stuff away. And so I feel like that creative flow is like that in my life, where this creative tide will come in, and it'll be like, if I look at the dates of finished songs, they'll be like a bunch in a given week or 10 days, and then maybe there's a big gap. And so I think that that's the mystery, of this thing that we're tapped into. But I also feel that creativity is work, and it's I treat it like a job. So like you have to come back. Like we have a when you work, like when we have a job, that we clock in, whatever time you're supposed to show up at your shift, you clock in and you work. Like you don't do it when you feel it. You don't wake up inspired to go, do your job. You just show up and do it when it's time. And so I treat music like that, where okay, I gotta create right now. I'm not gonna wait for something. I'm gonna make something. And so if it's songwriting, I'll go and write a song. And sometimes that means writing a bad song, one of the most recent songs I wrote is called Stupid Song, and it was an assignment that I made for students, for people who have trouble finishing songs. So the idea is like you set a timer for 40 minutes, and you have to write a verse, an A section of a song, and then you have to write a change for it, a B section. And actually, you have to write two A sections and a B section. So two verses and a chorus. 40 minutes, go, and don't stop until you're done. And so, that's where it's like, okay, I have a job to do. I'm creative. I'm confident that I can pull it off. It won't necessarily be amazing. And so I gave myself permission to write the song, which is called Stupid Song. And ironically, it's a song about writing a song, but I was like, I got to the end and I was like, that's not bad. And I shared it on my socials with my network, and some people were like, I really like that. The only problem is it's not a stupid song, so it's just kind of funny how it works.
Here's a question to go off of that, what you just told us. Is there such a thing as a bad song? Because technically, somebody somewhere in the world likes at least one. Quote bad song, I mean, technically, there's no such thing as a bad song, or am I wrong? I mean, is there like one solidified way how to create like a bad worst song, or does that not even allow you to write that bad of a song? I don't know what.
That's a pretty deep question. I've actually got to think about that. I mean, my initial response is, for me and the stuff I make, yeah, I can judge my work, and I do. But it is art, and so I also believe that there's no wrong way to make art. So I would say there's no wrong songs, but some are more right than others. Like more people like them, or more they rise to the top. And others kind of sink, to the bottom of the pot, there's certainly a lot of songs that I've never played for anybody. Maybe my family has heard them, me singing them away, you know. But once I'm done, it's kind of like, you know, that's it. There's a song I wrote recently. It's called Tongue. And I didn't share it with anybody, you know, and I probably won't, but I wanted to finish it. And yeah. So it's I think it's a good exercise for creatives.
The songs that you don't release to the fans as the public, do you have any plans later on in life that you would like to release them? Because as a fan, I want to hear everything. I don't care if it's I don't care if it's a recorded, but I love bad recordings, you know, because you gotta start from somewhere. And then it'll, you know, get all the, you know, you get better with age, with practice, with, you know, but for me, I want to experience where he came from first to get to where he's at now, you know. Do you think in the near future or future that you will release these in like a low key box set or something, you know?
I would love to. I would love to honor every one of my songs with a studio quality recording, even if it sat for a while
Yeah.
or you know, until I die or whatever, you know. But there's not enough time to get to all of them.
Yeah.
There's an incredible backlog of songs, and honestly, it has stressed me out at certain times in my life because I thought that I, for a while, I could keep up. And when I was younger, and I was writing, you know, I was writing pretty quickly sometimes, you know, and I was keeping up with 4-track recordings of these songs, like acoustic guitar, voice, and a few overdubs, you know, to flesh them out, some hand percussion, some harmonicas and harmonies and stuff. So it's pretty stripped down acoustic. But back in the day in the 1900s, you know. But I've lost I can't keep up at this point.
Take
And so
it up.
I can't keep up with myself. And so I don't want that to hold me back from creating new songs because I feel like my best work is ahead of me still. And I read a quote. I read a lot of songwriter stories and stuff, and try and remember who this was. I think it was Paul McCartney, and he was 49 years old, so it was a while ago. But he was like, "My best work is still ahead of me," you know. And yeah, and I feel the same way that it's like if for those of us that you know really are working at a craft and trying to improve and as a lifelong process. I would hope that our best work is ahead of us. So I don't want to have to get bogged down with, you know, recording stuff that is just less than what I want to put out there.
So this is like a music universal question. What kept you emotionally connected to music throughout all these different seasons in your life?
Yeah, music has been a thread. I just latched on to music and specifically songwriting as a teenager, and I've just held on to that. It's been a guiding light for me. I just have followed this thing through the good, through the bad, through the funny, through the you know, the rainy, through, you know, my travels, through my different relationships. And so the songs are a little bit of a way that I make sense of my life. And, you know, this guitar sitting next to me here is like, I bought that when I was a teenager. I bought you, not that, but you. I try to, you know, honor these, you know, these wood. And actually, this guitar just had I wrote a song for this guitar recently. It's called Questions for My Guitar. Because it was just kind of about this. Like we've been on this journey and I didn't even know what kind of wood the instrument was made of, you know. And I kind of did some research and figured out that it's spruce and cherry and has a rosewood fretboard and like it's like, oh wow, this is this is cool, you know, like these different
Awesome.
trees
Yeah.
that went into this instrument and the steel strings. And yeah, so music has just been a thing that I latched onto and I've just never let go of. And now it's become such a huge part of my internal process, the way I look at the world, and also how I process, things that happen in my life. So I write about them.
Well, let me throw the question back to you. If your guitar could talk, what do you think it would say about you as a person, as a musician, stuff that, I mean, would it talk back at you because it heard something and then, somewhere something, that,
Right. I mean, it'd probably say like, "Hey, don't leave me out in the cold car again.
Yes, there,
Take me
no,
inside."
don't, right. Yeah, I'm freezing out here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it might say like, "Hey, remember that time we were in Australia together and
Yeah.
slept on the beach?" Or, "Don't play that song again."
Yeah.
Maybe like thank you for learning to play in a lot of different keys so that I don't get worn out in one place, try to use the whole fretboard.
Right.
This guitar has been such a friend. I mean, I've known this instrument longer than most of the people in my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
Yeah.
what's cool is that it's not technically like a amazing instrument. It's just like a mid-grade guitar. It's a good working guitar. It's my number one instrument. I've written most of my songs on it and played most of my shows on it since, literally the 1900s. So we're friends, we're buds.
Yeah, you're your best friends, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, this is going to be a hard question for me to form, so bear with me here.
Sure.
Okay, so when, how do I want to phrase this? When you make music in your past, and when you were just beginning to make music, right? That's something you were doing just to do. I would imagine, But now you're writing for kids and adults at the same time, right? So
Yes.
does that feel more responsible for sharing with others now as opposed to back then?
I don't quite understand. Could you say it one more time?
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. You write for kids and adults at the same time, okay? Now, what is your idea for sharing for both, at the same time, without getting too kiddish, without getting too adult? What's your responsibility for sharing that aura with both children and adults?
Right. Well, I think the song should, whoever it's going to be for, even if it's just for me,
Yeah.
it should be true. And there's a great songwriter who I consider her a teacher. We've never met. I hope to meet her someday.
Yeah.
But her name's Mary Gaucher, and she's great. She's amazing writer and has amazing life story. She wrote a book called Saved by a Song, and I highly recommend everybody buy it and read it because it's a beautiful book. But she says something along those lines. So she says something like, the song, it should be true, but it doesn't have to be true in fact, but it should be true in feeling, and so I really resonate with that, where it's like you just want to be true to this thought that's happening. It doesn't even have to be me who's narrating this story, and so just trying to find the truth in this little idea that's being presented in the mini movie, of the song that is right before your ears. So the difference between a kid's song and a grown-up song is there's not much. There's a few things in a kid's song that I won't sing about, and those topics are probably
Yeah.
fairly obvious. But the opposite of that, which is what what is forbidden territory in a grown-up song?
Right.
There's a lot more forbidden territory in a grown-up song than in a kid's song. And that's what's the irony of making kids' music, is that it really opens up a lot of possibilities that are not there when you're writing for a, quote, air quotes, more mature audience, an audience that's going to be in a bar or a club or
Yeah.
something like that. Because they don't really want to hear you sing about, the four spaces between your toes, and drawing some metaphor about that. People are too cool for that. They're like, they're too busy looking good and like smelling good and, maybe getting someone's phone number if they can, or, like there's other things on their mind, but kids are ready to play. They're open. And so, and usually the people who are hanging out with kids are in that playful space too. So I feel like there's a lot of different possibilities for both age demographics. And the challenge I give myself when I'm writing now at this stage, probably for the last 10 years or so, maybe a little less, is to write for everybody, to write all ages songs, to write a song that, you could play for a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, but you could also play it for their big teenage sister or brother. You could play it for their grandma or whatever, And so just trying to find topics and melodies and storytelling and always musical performances that are worth, that are just quality, heartfelt, authentic performances with real musicians,
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a little challenge that I've set forth for myself, is just to try to write kids' songs for everybody.
Right. I brought that up to bring this up. All right. Of course I did, right? Your new song, which came out July 18th last year, 2025, is called Imperfection is a Gift.
1, 2, 1, 2, here we go. My toe peeks through, and when your back was turned, they were peeking out at you. Could fix it with a stitch, close the hole, but then I wouldn't be here hanging with my friend. Imperfection is a gift we receive. Teacup with a chip and the scar upon your face. So don't resist, nothing needs to be fixed. Imperfection is a gift, it's a gift. Doesn't go to waste. How could
popcorn, they never tell you this. Imperfection is a gift. Maybe someday we'll all admit. Imperfection is a gift. Not everything needs to be fixed. Imperfection is a gift.
Yeah.
And that's for children and adults at the same time, right? Because imperfection is really a gift. You know, there's no one person except twins, but that rarely happens, you know? Was there like a personal experience that made that song like really real for you to write right then at the time that you thought it? Or was it just like an idea that just came about?
That song, the title of that song, Imperfection is a Gift, has been hanging out in my back pocket for literally since the 1900s.
Right. So you're looking at for age.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I've been there. I've been in the 1900s.
You, yeah, there you go. No, I, 1980. Yeah.
You were there. That's right.
Yeah, there we go.
And so my friend, I was in a postcard war. We call it a postcard war. And we were both send each other as many postcards as you could, you know, licking stamps and putting them in the mailbox and stuff. And so, you know, it was just a friendly correspondence. And one of the postcards he sent me, my friend Aaron, he wrote on it, imperfection is a gift, you know. And so, you know, and I despite trying to, you know, approach perfection, I never have been able to, you know, it's unachievable. And so that really resonated with me, and it's been a real learning like phrase for me. And yeah. So I wanted to, I didn't know what to do with it. And so eventually I was like, started putting it into the chorus of this song. Imperfection is a gift. It's the gift we receive every day, you know, and there's just opportunities all the time to just accept the imperfectness of our lives, or mistakes that we make, or mistakes that our friends make, or whatever. and so it's again, how do I make sense of my life? Is like, I'm gonna put it, sing it in a song, you know?
There you go.
And yeah. And so that song, once that chorus was written, it was like, okay, well, what's the story, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't know, there's a point when I'm writing where I'm like, is this going to be a kid's song or is this not? And sometimes I don't want it to be a kid's song, or I don't want it to be, you know, like I will it one direction across that imaginary border. And it doesn't always work that way. And so this song has, yeah, I feel like it straddles that line, you know, like I was trying to say earlier, where it's like, it's not quite a kid's song and it's not quite a grown up song.
It's like a combination of both worlds, really.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Where they just kind of collide. And, you know, I released it as, you know, just as a single. So, yeah. You know, it can go either way. But it's interesting how I had like a link to it in my signature block for a little bit. And a few people clicked on it. And it was so interesting because, like, the people who mentioned it, who responded to it, you know, the feedback that I got about it were from like middle-aged women. That's who like was like, oh my gosh, that's just what I needed to hear, you know? And so that surprised me, you know, because
yeah.
You just never know who's going to receive the song.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I always say, well, I always try to say, you know, musicians, get your song out, because you never know who you're going to inspire next, you know? I mean, right. you could be here in America and overseas in Germany, Iceland, whatever, you know, they're hearing your first song for the first time and getting that warmth that you're not alone, you know. I've been through too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You kind of put a song out there and then, you know, hopefully it takes on a life of its own.
Yeah.
starts to find its way around the planet and get broadcast different places, or you know, sometimes with like the Instagram and different platforms, you can you know, make a little, I don't know what you call it, sync a song to your video, you know, and
Right,
so
yeah.
I don't know what they call it on the platforms, but you know, so most of the music, you know, my music is available to do that, and you know, most of the music out there is, if you grant that permission. And so like a song that I have, it's a kid's song. I put it on a kid's album called Apple Apple, and it's a silly little song. You know, it just has the song has five words: apple, banana, cookie, you know,
Yeah.
like. And so all
I
these people
actually listened to
started,
that today. Yeah, it's
do you know
great.
that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so all these people started using it with Apple videos of various sorts, like fruit, you know, if they're doing something with apples. It turned up in like some videos for like Apple computers and things like that.
Right.
So,
That's
you know,
awesome.
sometimes these songs just like do things that we don't, you know, we let them go. It's like,
Yeah.
if you love something, let it go.
Let the children go, because technically all your songs are children,
Yeah,
even
definitely.
though
Like,
you have 1,000 children, but you're still your children, right? I don't know if that's too much information, but oh, right,
well, I get you.
yeah,
I could
you're
laugh
right,
at that. It's not a straight metaphor, but it's parallel.
this next question is going to be an interesting one. It's almost like the one I asked you about your guitar talking to you, but. This podcast is built around depression and anxiety and how music helps that. Okay. So if you could sit down with your younger self at the moment you needed encouraging the most when you were depressed or stressful or I don't know what you've been through in your life, but I'm sure you've had those moments. What would you say to your younger self, and would he believe you at that moment in time?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I would say just keep going. You know, it gets better.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be periods where, you know, ups and downs your whole life, and it's hard
Yeah.
and it gets easier. And yeah. And around, you know, around music and specifically, you know, yeah, I would definitely say like just buy a new pack of strings, string up that instrument, and yeah, keep going. There's no wrong way to do this. Be curious, be interested in your life, let things happen, discover something, even if it's tiny every day. Go outside.
Do something outside.
Look, yeah, look for
Look at the
something new.
sky. Yeah.
Yeah, look at the sky, look at the sea. Wash your face in the cold salt water.
Wow. Yeah. It's funny that you said change strings, because I did today. Yeah,
Nice.
because I had a pack of the D'Addario's 8 to 30 something. Because I figured the lighter strings I could play better, because I have
Cool.
trouble forming chords. So change the
Nice.
strings, just to see what that'll do. So yeah, but I think it's kind of unique that you said change strings, and I did today.
Perfect. Oh, good. I just threw that in. I don't
Oh no,
know.
yeah, nice. Yeah.
Maybe I was catching it. That's cool. Do you play acoustic guitar? You
Yeah.
play?
Well, no. Well, I don't play it right now. I'm trying to learn.
Okay.
Because something traumatic happened to me back when I was 16, 17. I had a guitar teacher yell at me for some odd reason, and I'm like, I'm never playing guitar again. I'll, F this, F th you know. Inside, I didn't tell anybody else that. But yeah, but ever since then, I'm like, I don't really want to learn how to play. But making this podcast, it enables me to open my mind more and see what I can do, see the music that I could make, in the future.
Good.
So yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I believe there's songs in you, in everybody that only you can write, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have your stories and you have, you know, the melodies and the chords and that you're gonna used to accompany it. So like I feel like everybody, this is for everybody,
Yeah.
and it is, if we remember, a lot of times we put artists, and like the superstars, we put them on these, like pedestals and stuff. They're amazing, but like these are just people too. And folk music is about just everyday people playing music,
Yeah.
if you're not writing, maybe you're just singing someone else's songs on your guitar and doing your
Yeah.
thing. So
I mean, it's fun to cover somebody else's song, you know? It's
and I
so
do
fun.
that too.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get unstuck if you're feeling like you're on a plateau. It's like, all right, go learn three new covers and like change the key of them and just play them a little bit, and it opens some things up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that teachers are humans too. We make mistakes. I'm a teacher as well. I try to never shame and never condescend, especially youth, but any students.
Well,
Shame
yeah,
is a horrible
anybody.
teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a horrible teacher. And like I've heard so many stories like you describe. It's often around, not to talk trash about piano teachers, but I've heard so many bad stories about piano teachers who are
Really?
like,
Okay.
you gotta hold your wrists and, da-da-da-da and sit up and da-da-da, you're not doing this right, and it turns people off, and so I'm sorry on behalf of the universe
Oh,
and on behalf
wait,
of
yeah.
teachers.
Yeah, but
I'm
I get
glad
what you mean.
you're open to it, and
Yeah. I'm really gonna shoot my shot at it, 'cause I have like seven guitars that I don't even play.
seven.
Seven.
Whoa, you got more than me.
What is wrong with me, right? Yeah, 'cause I have like two Jacksons, a PRS, a Fender, and I just got me a Wild Audio guitar. Love it, you know. I love
So
the shape in it.
electric guitars.
Oh yeah, electric guitar. I have one acoustic guitar, but it's an acoustic electric guitar, and
Yeah,
it's
cool.
and it's a Fender guitar. Yeah, but
Awesome.
I don't know what it is about looking at guitars. You know, maybe I'm just looking, just a dream that I can be on a stage, just jamming, power. You know, get off. You know, songs that I've written. You know, it's just, you know, the imagination never fails me. When I'm imagining something really good that I want in the future, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope you keep doing it. And another idea that I'd share with with people who either have like small hands, or you're saying it's a little hard for you to fret. Do you play right-handed?
Left-handed.
You play
Oh,
left-handed.
a strum with my right hand chord,
Okay, yeah.
but yeah,
So
regular, I guess.
your left hand is fretting. Another idea that I share with a lot of like young kids and stuff, but is like ukulele is just like a guitar, but the strings are soft and it's smaller, and so it's a lot easier. It fits into our bodies better. So just another idea, and it's a really deep instrument too. It's like you could do so much. I've been really having fun on ukulele, learning how.
I got a friend whose wife has like two or three, and she loves them. She can't
Yeah.
stop playing them. Also, I wonder if we all have creative minds, but does it reveal who we are or who we are afraid to be, you know, within writing songs, you know?
Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah.
Is that a rhetorical question?
I have no idea how to answer that myself. So yeah, I mean that's technically
Elizabeth, can I bring a quote up here?
yes.
Let me grab this quote real quick. I
Okay.
love quotes, and that makes me think of a quote from Elizabeth Gilbert, and I think I can put my hands on it
Okay.
fairly quickly here.
Yeah.
She has a quote about, so she says, Elizabeth Gilbert, so she wrote a number of books. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love. That's her most
Okay, yeah.
famous book. But
Right.
she says, bravery means doing something scary. You do not need your fear in the realm of creative expression. Creativity asks you to enter into realms of uncertain outcome, and fear hates uncertain outcome. This is all totally natural and human, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, she has a book called Big, I think it's called Big Magic.
Okay.
And for anyone who is, you know, feel has a creative life, great book, super inspirational. She's a great writer and she's very inspiring. But yeah, there's a lot of people who write about fear and creativity.
Yeah.
I personally, there are things that I have fear about in the world and in my life. But I really, fortunately, I don't have a lot of hang-ups around that musically, you know, where I just kind of do my thing and
Yeah.
I'm like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I got, you
Yeah, I
know.
mean, you could only be you, right? Can't be anybody else.
That's right.
Right. So why even bother
It's like a
trying to be
Dr.
somebody else?
Tucson, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So before we let you go, I would love to do like a quick lightning round with you. Is that okay? All right. All right. First word, first sentence, first thought that comes to mind. Right. A moment in nature that changed your perspective.
Almost drowning in South America.
I cannot swim. That scares me. That scares
Right.
me. Yeah.
Yeah, just like realizing, you know, I got swept out this in a rip tide with
Okay. Yeah.
three people, myself and two others, and I was with my wife and this other guy. We got swept out and he was not doing well. He was like,
Yeah.
well, you know, man, you know, and we were
Yeah.
like, I can't save you. You have, I'm a, you know, a drowning man can't
On
save another.
there, exactly. Yeah. What emotion your music returns to most often?
I think optimism.
A sound that instantly inspires you. One sound. I don't like bees. Get that bee away
It's
from me.
not bees.
Okay.
It's like a
Okay.
Z sound. I don't
Sleep.
know. I like
Yeah.
that sound.
Yeah. Dude, I am terrified of bees and anything that stings.
Oh, I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
No, it's fine.
Triggered
It's fine. It's all
sound.
good. It's all good. It's all good.
Another sound, here's another one, is like singing frogs. You know, I live in the Northwest, and right now the frogs, the Pacific tree frogs, are starting to sing, and they sing in different little clusters
Yeah.
throughout these wetlands and ponds and stuff. And
Right.
oh, it's so beautiful. They're little sweet animals, and they sing and they communicate with their songs, just like we're trying to do.
The most honest song you've ever written and you've released. Because I know you have.
Probably a song called Butterfly in the Wind,
Okay.
which was like a pandemic song when I was just like, I was down, things were not going my way.
Yeah.
And it's pretty vulnerable to put that out there.
Yeah.
Butterfly in the Wind.
Butterfly.
That's how I was feeling.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Something you learned from children that always stayed with you emotionally.
You know, wow. First thing that popped in my head is I was working in a preschool, and it was early on in my work with youth and kids, and this little girl was like having a little temper tantrum, and I was trying to calm her down, and she wouldn't calm down. And I said, I'm not gonna say her name, but I
You
said,
know, yeah.
duh. Calm down. Like I kind of yelled at her.
Yeah.
I was like yelling to calm down. And I was like, oh my
That's the
God.
opposite of what you're right.
I
Yeah,
totally failed right now, you know?
yeah.
And so I think like something I learned from kids is like we think we're teaching them one thing and you know, like I'm gonna teach you the ABCs right now. But like
Yeah.
really what we're teaching them is how we behave when we get frustrated or angry or something like that. Like they pick up so many different cues from us. So I think, yeah, I like to be just more aware of how I'm coming off and my energy and stuff.
Do you prefer silence or sound?
Yes.
Yeah, I love you for that. Yeah. Oh. Yes, that's the perfect answer. All right. A creative risk you're glad you took.
Like a creative risk that I took was writing out some scores with the help of an arranger and producing them with a symphony,
Right.
with a small ensemble from the Seattle Symphony. And it was like, whoa, can I do that? What's gonna happen? And it ended up being beautiful.
Nice. Nice.
We weren't allowed to record it either because the musicians were union, and so that wasn't part of their contract. I was like, can
Couldn't.
we record this? Nope.
Oh
Stop.
man, yeah. Gone forever, you know.
Gone
But
forever.
it's still with you. So that's always going to be a good thing. Okay, last question I have for you. Finish this sentence. When words fail, music
Fills in the spaces.
there you go. That's it, man. That's all it is, I couldn't say it any better other than when words fail, music speaks. But yours is 10,000 better than mine. Yeah. Yeah, man. All right. So before we let you go, I'm going to give you some shout outs so everybody can come to you. Go to harmonicapocket.com and just see what Keith has to offer there. He's got the store. You can buy some of his merchandise, download some of his music, find out more about him on his About tab. And man, I just love you to death. I wish you would come back anytime you want to, okay?
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Thanks for chatting. Yeah,
Sure.
if you want to check out some of my songs, I'd love to be on the soundtrack to your lives. And you
Yes.
can find the band Harmonica Pocket online. And I also help people tell their stories and songs too. And there's a link on Harmonica Pocket's page, but harmonicapocket.com/songs if you want to work on your own songwriting. So that's something that I love helping
And
people do.
you're on Instagram and TikTok and all that fun stuff, right? You're on X and Twitter and yeah. Okay, yeah, you're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. So
Yeah, everything is
everybody get.
at Harmonica Pocket.
Okay, everywhere.
Everywhere.
I love that, man. I tried to do that too, but I couldn't do it for some reason.
I know, man.
Yeah,
You
it
have to
was
be an
hard for
early
yeah,
adopter.
like yeah, like So yeah, man, I do love you, and I beg you to come back anytime you want to. Okay.
Thank you so much. Love you too. And I hope you keep playing guitar, break those strings in.
There,
And,
yes, I do. I must have to, So, all right, all right. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening in to this episode today. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.